हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So now we've had Yudhishthir, Bhima, and Draupadi come into in their disguises to the kingdom of Virat. So now, then continuing, the day after Draupadi's entrance into Virat, Sahadev made his way into the city dressed as a cowherd. He arrived at the cow pasture in the region of Virat's palace. The king happened to be visiting his herd and was present when Sahadev arrived. Virat sent for him and asked who he was and why he had come to the city. Sahadev replied, "I am a Vaishya named Tantripala. I used to work with cows belonging to the Pandavas. I am expert in handling cattle and desire to render you that service." Virat observed Sahadev's broad shoulders and long arms. "You must surely be a Brahmin or a powerful Kshatriya," he replied. "The office of a ruler would better suit you than that of a cowherd. Tell me, from where do you hail, O afflicter of enemies? What engagement do you desire, and what payment?" "I used to reside in Indraprastha, and I took care of the innumerable cows there," Sahadev answered. "I know everything about caring for cows. O king, I desire only my residence and upkeep, and will serve you to the best of my ability." The king accepted Sahadev's request. "I have 100,000 cows. These, along with their keepers, shall be placed under your care. Live here in peace, and I shall ensure that you are provided with whatever you desire." So just seeing them, you can tell that they're of, very special quality of personality and ability. And so just like the others, then they think, no, you should be in a higher position. So Bhima comes in, he becomes the head of the kitchen. Yudhishthir comes in, and he becomes, immediately someone who's going to work with him on a personal basis and that. Draupadi, then everybody's a little worried about her because she looks like she's the queen of queens, which technically she is. And so, no, she's just going to do this service and stay out of the way. Some ask why she's so shy. That's because she likes to stay out of the way. And she says she's already married. She goes, "What about, you're so attractive and all that?" It says, "No, I'm already married, and so therefore, no one should bother me." And so Sahadev also, then he comes in and he's just saying, he tells them, just you look like somebody who's a great Kshatriya. But when he explains, then he says, "Okay, then all my cows and all the keepers of the cows, they're under your control." The day after Sahadev's entry, another newcomer was seen making his way into the city, of huge body and adorned with clothes and ornaments of a woman. He went towards the king's palace, shaking the earth with his steps, even though he's walking with the gait of a broad-hipped woman. So even though he's walking like a woman would walk, but at the same time as the earth would shake with his steps. He stood before the king with his body concealed by layers of colored silks. His arms were covered by numerous conch bracelets set with gold, and he seemed like a huge, gorgeously decorated elephant standing in the royal court. Virat looked at him in surprise. He asked his courtiers, "Who is this person? I have never seen such a one." When none of them could identify them, the king turned to Arjuna and said, "You appear endowed with the might of a celestial. Young and dark complexion, you look like a lord of elephants. Bracelets and fine gold earrings have braided your hair. You still shine like a god decked with garlands, and equipped with armor and weapons. Become my son or even myself. I am old and worn out. Therefore rule this kingdom in my place and let me retire. I cannot believe you are of the neuter sex. Right, means in other words he's a eunuch. So he's saying, says, I don't believe you that you come sit here, rule my kingdom, take over. I'm old, you know, I can retire now. Then a deep voice that echoed around the court, Arjuna replied, I sing, dance, and play musical instruments. I am skilled in all these arts. O God among men, assign me to your daughter Uttara, and I shall be her dancing master. Please do not ask me how I acquired this form, for that would only add to my pain. Know me to be Brihan Nala, a son or daughter without parents. So he always says, you look like this and that. They just, and you see with all of them, just down to business. No, I'm this. And so this is what I'd like to do. Virat stared with astonishment at Brihan Nala. After testing you, I will happily place you as my daughter's instructor. I feel, though, that you deserve to rule the earth rather than to accept such a humble office. The king had beautiful women examine Brihan Nala to ensure that he was free from lust. He also asked him to display his abilities of singing and dancing. The women reported that there was no problem, and the king, after seeing his celestial skills, happily appointed Brihan Nala as Princess Uttara's teacher. In the guise of a eunuch, you know, because he knows when it says celestial skill, he does have celestial skills. One, he is of such high caliber. And two, he learned from the Gandharva king himself, so it doesn't get any better than that. In the guise of a eunuch, Arjuna began living with the women in Virat's palace, instructing them in singing and playing musical instruments, as well as in the various modes of dancing he had learned from the Gandharvas. Due to Urvasi's curse, he felt no disturbance in the women's presence, and he soon became a great favorite in their chambers. No one suspected that he was in fact the world-renowned Pandava, right? So he's living with all the women, and here's Arjuna, who's the most attractive to the women of all the brothers, but he's living there and no one suspected, because he does, you know, he doesn't give that mood, because by Uttara's, I mean Urvasi's curse, he is a eunuch. It only remained for Nakula to enter Virat. Then, on the day after Arjuna entered, he appeared in the city. The people saw him walking through the streets like the sun appearing from behind the clouds. Going to the royal stables, he began to examine the horses. When the king saw him there, shining like a celestial, he had him summoned to the royal court. Nakula introduced himself. O king, all victory to you. I am the keeper of horses known as Drantika. I was formerly employed by Yudhishthira and am well versed in all the arts of horsemanship. I know the temper of horses and can break them completely. Under my care, hardly an animal falls ill, and not even the mares are found to be wicked. Employ me as horse keeper, O king, and I shall serve you well. Right, so he's making these points, is that horses can become sick, so they hardly ever become that. And the mares, because sometimes they can get grumpy, but they always behave themselves. And the horses, they can break completely, means they can be completely trained. So they can be very peaceful in that, in their situation, and if they're trained as war horses, they can be in the battle, never be disturbed. Because we know a few things that are used in the modern of how they would run, a few gates that they use, and a few they can jump, and a few things like this, and some tricks. But in the Vedic thing, these horses were trained, they can do so many things. They can jump backwards, they can jump sideways, they can do all kinds of things that nowadays it's not even known the horses can do, because they would be going, because if they're going and something happens, they can jump sideways and keep running, or they can go and then, or they're there and they can jump backwards and then go off. They can do all kinds of far out things. But so he knows all of this and he can perfectly train them. Virat looked at the tall, powerful person before him. He seemed to be born of aristocracy. There was no doubt that he had the abilities he claimed. The king agreed to employ him. You shall take charge of my stables and all those who work in them, including my charioteers. You appear to me like a king yourself, and your sight is as pleasing to me as it must have been to Yudhishthira. I wonder how that flawless Pandava is faring in the deep forest without servants such as yourself. Having achieved the positions they desired, the five brothers and Draupadi began their final year in exile, unsuspected by anyone. So if you look at it, you might think, "As no, it's not possible that this." But at the same time, as they're working for the Pandavas and Yudhishthira, and they're the best, so they would have the best, and so that they could have servants like this. You know, the servants themselves are capable of being kings, but they would rather serve Yudhishthira than you know, do something else. Chapter 36. Draupadi again insulted. After 12 long years in the forest, waiting for the day they could reclaim their kingdom, the final year of busy city life passed quickly for the Pandavas. Yudhishthira diced with Virat, and thanks to the skills he acquired from Vrishabharva, won much wealth from the king. Because they'll have that. Because the thing, if he's not winning wealth, then how can he lose wealth? You know, because that's the whole thing, is that for the kings, it's something real, so that something is to be staked. He secretly distributed his winnings to his brothers. Bhima ensured that his brothers had the best food and drink. You know, so he'd also arrange that they always got. You know, but they do it in such a way that it wouldn't be connected, that they have a connection to each other. You know, it's like he's the head of the stables, he's the head of the cows, and if he has one of the servants take to them, it won't be a problem. Like that. So Yudhishthira saw that they all got money so he could take care of their needs. Bhima saw that they all got nice food. From the ladies in the palace, Arjuna obtained many items of clothing, which he gave to his brothers, and the twins also shared with their brothers the wealth they earned from the king. The Pandavas lived so happily that it seemed they were back in their own home. They kept vigilant eyes on Draupadi and were always alert to danger from Duryodhana and his men. In the fourth month of their stay in Virat, there was a festival held in honor of Shiva. Among the festivities was a wrestling contest. Many powerful fighters from all over Bharata assembled in the city, roaring like lions. Those colossal-bodied men were maddened with power and strength. They strode about the wrestling arena, slapping their arms and chests. Virat honored them and organized a tournament between them. One wrestler, Jamuta, was the most powerful and emerged victorious from the contest. As he stood shouting out a furious challenge, none dared come forward to fight him. Virat then summoned his cook, Vallabha, and ordered him to fight. Bhima could not defy the king's order. Reluctantly, he prepared for the match, because he doesn't want to become famous. Right? You know, Jamuta does. People know Jamuta and all this, but then who's this guy, this other? So he's going to have to be very careful. Although he enjoyed fighting, he was afraid someone would recognize him if he displayed too much power. Praying to Krishna that he would not be recognized, he went before the roaring Jamuta. The two wrestlers appeared like infuriated elephants, about to fight for leadership of the herd. A fierce fight ensued with the combatants locked together, each looking for the other's weak points. Their blows sounded like thunderbolts striking mountains. The crowds gasped and cheered in turn. Each fighter dashed the other to the ground, threw him, pressed him down by force, and whirled the other around. They slapped and kicked one another with tremendous power. Knees struck against knees, heads against heads, sound like two stones crashing together. As they fought, they shouted insults at each other. The crowd was delighted, some supporting Bhima and others Jamuta. Finally, Bhima, who had been withholding his full strength, decided to end the bout. He suddenly lifted his rival over his head and whirled him about. He spun him 100 times with such force that he fell unconscious. Then Bhima dashed him to the ground. Seeing the senseless Jamuta lying on the ground, Virat was overjoyed. He immediately gave Bhima valuable gifts and asked if there were any others who dared challenge him. When no one came forward, Virat ordered that he fight with lions, tigers, and elephants. Bhima overpowered many animals in the midst of the astonished crowd, but none had any idea of his actual identity. The king was pleased with all the Pandavas. By his celestial skills in the arts, Arjuna delighted Virat and the palace ladies. Nakula showed him many well-trained and swift horses. And the king was also pleased with Sahadev's handling of his cows and bulls. But Draupadi, seeing her husband engaged in such menial service, felt pained at heart. The Panchala princess waited upon Sudeshna in misery, but she conducted herself in such a way that the queen was satisfied by her service and gave no thought as to who she actually might be. 11 months passed. Right? So that was after 4 months was this wrestling munch. Now 11 months have passed. All right, so they only have one more month. One day, as Draupadi was moving about the palace, the commander of Virat's army, Kichika, happened to see her. Cupid's arrows immediately struck the mighty Kichika when he saw Draupadi's enchanting beauty. She seemed like a goddess descended to earth. His heart was inflamed by desire. He went to his sister, Sudeshna, so that's the queen, and said, "I have never seen this maidservant before. Who is she? Her beauty maddens me as wine does with its aroma. Indeed, this bewitching damsel has ground my heart and brought me under subjugation. I am almost feverish with desire, and only she has the cure. Tell me, sister, how she come to be your servant? It seems that she is too good for such a position. Let her grace my palace and enjoy every opulence with me." As he spoke, Draupadi entered the queen's chamber. Without waiting for Sudeshna's answer, Kichika turned to Draupadi and said, "Who are you and to whom do you belong? O fair-faced maiden, simply by seeing you I've lost my mind. I have never seen such grace and beauty in a woman. You are Goddess Lakshmi herself, or perhaps one of those other divine ladies, Sri, Hri, Kiriti, or Kanti." Because she's the Dana Lakshmi, or the wife of Indra. So she is Lakshmi. "You must be celestial because you shine like the full moon. What man would not yield to Cupid's influence when he beheld your face shining with such heavenly beauty? Your well-shaped breasts resemble lotus buds, and your shapely form have afflicted me with the blazing fire of lust. O fair one, pray extinguish this fire with the rain cloud of union. Your maddening gestures and movements have pierced my heart. It behooves you to save me from my plight by surrendering yourself to me and allowing me to enjoy your company. You shall have whatever you desire, and your name, your time as a servant, will end." Kichika spoke at length in his attempt to woo Draupadi, but she was only filled with horror. Lowering her face and covering her head, she replied, "I am a Sairindri of low caste, holding the hateful position of dressing hair. O hero, in desiring me, you wish for one who is not worthy of such an honor. Furthermore, I am already the wife of others, and thus your conduct is unbecoming." One, she's saying, I'm not qualified because she's a lower position, and she's already married. "Do not turn your mind to adultery, for it leads inevitably to disgrace and calamity. To fully abandon sin is ever the duty of the good." Kichika's, whose senses were completely overpowered by lust, simply smiled. Without caring for the consequences, he addressed Draupadi in sweet tones. "O timid one, it is not fair of you to reject me. Cupid enslaves me on your account. If you do not accept my proposal, then you will have to regret your decision. I am the lord of this realm. The people depend upon me for their safety. In heroism, I have no rival on earth. My power and prosperity are without compare. Why do you turn me down in favor of a life of servitude? I shall bestow the kingdom upon you. Live with me in happiness and enjoy whatever you desire." Draupadi was disgusted by Kichika's shamelessness, and she became angry. "O son of Asuta, do not needlessly throw away your life. Five heroes always protect me. You cannot win me because I am already married to five Gandharvas of terrible prowess. They will not tolerate this insult and will doubtlessly slay you if you persist in your attempts to win me. You will have no refuge, even if you descend to the subterranean world or soar to the heavens," right? Because they're Gandharvas. Gandharvas can go anywhere. "My husbands always crush their enemies. Why, Kichika, do you desire me like a child on a mother's lap who desires the moon? Look to your safety and leave me alone." Draupadi turned and quickly walked from the queen's chamber. Kichika was shocked and dismayed by Draupadi's stern refusal. He said to Sudeshna, "Please do whatever is necessary to make this maiden incline towards me. If she does not accept me, I shall kill myself." Sudeshna pitied her brother in his disappointment. She said, "I will find a suitable opportunity and send Sairindri to you to fetch something." In the solitude of your quarters, you'll be able to solicit her at leisure. She will then most likely become attracted to you. Kichika agreed to his sister's suggestion and returned to the palace, right? Because he's very qualified in all that. And on normal situations, then you would think, yes, she would be. You know, what girl would not be attracted? And especially if there's an opportunity to move up from being a maidservant, especially a lowly maidservant, a general maidservant, up to some, you know, position of status and all that. So the queen, you know, in thinking along the lines how ordinary persons would think, then she's thinks that this plan would work. But it won't work, as we shall see. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.